one of the things that you cannot do when you are a real apostle, a real, I'm not talking about by way of title, but I'm talking about by way of real grace. One of the things you cannot do, pay attention, is talk about the church. You cannot do that around real apostolic graces, because that is one of the assignments of apostolic people. And it is to establish, pay attention to this, to watch this, Minister Free, not to just build new churches. Not to just build new churches. What I mean by that is apostolic graces, we don't just go to different territory to build new churches, build buildings, and then say, hey, come and worship here. That's a part of it. But one of the assignments, here it is, of the apostolic grace is to establish the need of the church for the culture. Okay, we have to establish the need that I do not believe you can be, pay attention to this, I do not believe you can be, Dr. Brandon, good to see you, man of God, I do not believe you can be a real Christian, pay attention, write this down, and hate the church. I don't know if you can be a real Christian and hate the church. I don't know if you can be a spirit-filled Christian and have a disdain for the church. I don't see it biblically. I don't see where you can be spirit-filled. I don't believe that you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I believe you can go through transitions. I believe that you can have tragedies in your life. I believe that you can have seasons where of offense. I believe you can have seasons of hurt. I believe you can have church hurt. I believe that, hear me, but I also believe that those things, though they are of human nature, the enemy uses those things to pull us out of covenant with God by pulling us out of the house of God. I believe that if you're going to grow as a believer, I believe that if you're going to be strong in your faith, I believe that if you're going to be planted in your faith, I believe that God uses the church to do that. I do not believe that you have, hear this, pay attention, you can argue this if you want, but I don't believe you have a chance in this world without the church. I don't believe, hear this, I don't believe that you have a chance. I don't believe, what I mean by that is this. I believe that we should model ourselves out of modern day military principles. I don't believe, here it is, there is no soldier, there is no one that is in the military that does not have a duty station. Do I have any military people or veterans in the room? Would you please wave your hands? Can y'all give all my military people a hand? Watch this. I don't believe, pay attention, you can be in the, hear this, you please correct me if I'm wrong, all of my military people, but you cannot be, hear this, you cannot be in the military and not have a duty station. Not only, hear this, not only can you not have a duty station, but you also have to have a MOS. You have to have a job. You have to have something that you are assigned to do. Now, you're not going to always like your duty station, and you're not going to always like your job, but you cannot be equipped. You cannot be a member of the United States military if you don't have a particular assignment that has been delegated to you. So how is it that all the other entities of the world, they have understood, whether they know it or not, they have understood the model of the kingdom, but the Protestant believer is still trying to grasp the concept of the kingdom of God. Watch this. Now, you can be in the military and refuse to go to your duty station. Well, the problem with that is they call that AWOL. Oh, yeah. And what's happening is the enemy enemy has used offense, and it's used disagreement, and it's used denomination, and it's used improper theology to divide the people of God, separating them from their assignment. But you have to understand that if you are not planted in the house of God, you are AWOL. Not only are you AWOL, you're not going to be able to grow and develop at your full potential, because my duty station is not just where I reside, but it is where I have a responsibility. I have an assignment that when you come into the house of God, not only are you coming to have good church, but you're also coming so that the Spirit of God can unlock gifts and talents. He's given everybody in this room a MOS, a mode of operation. He's giving you, watch this, and so the Spirit of God sends you to the house of God, and the house of God is supposed to activate the gifts that God has given you. So watch this, when you have the Spirit of God and you have the house of God in combination, no believer called of God walks about saying, I don't know who I am. I feel that in the Holy Ghost. So if a Christian is walking around talking about, I don't know my purpose, and I don't know my gift, and I don't know my future, and I don't know what I'm put on the earth to do, maybe, just maybe, something in you has gone AWOL. Okay, you don't like that one. Let's talk about our local law enforcement. That's what I come from. Hear me. You pay attention. You go to the police academy. You have 12 weeks of training and development. But just because you went to the police academy does not mean you are a police officer. It means you have the training. It does not mean you have authority. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Just because you went through 12 weeks of training, just because you went through gruesome and rigorous training, physical fitness, or knowledge, if you will, what gives you authority, here it is, what gives you authority is when a police department has a chief of police and they swear you in. Get this, you got training, but you need not just a gun. And some of y'all got gun gifts. Some of you can prophesy, but you have not been sworn in. Some of you can build and innovate and sing and create and lead and administrate, and all of those are spiritual gifts that you got when the Spirit of God impregnated you with himself. But he has to send you to an authority. I feel like preaching in the Holy Ghost. He has to send you to Ephesians 4:20. And he gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Hear me. The way that you can be the police is not just that you went to the academy and you got a gun, but you got to have a badge. You got to have what we call credentials. The credentials. Somebody has to swear you in. What they're doing is they're giving you arresting powers. They're giving you policing powers. So just because you saved don't mean you have authority. I feel like preaching in this room. Just because you speak in tongues don't mean you have authority. Just because you can prophesy don't mean you have authority. And this is what's going on in the body of Christ. We have people who have gifts, spiritual gifts, but you don't have authority. You can prophesy, but if we look in the corridors of your personal life, it has no authority. And when you get connected to the house of God and a real man of God, he don't just let you prophesy, but he teaches you how to have authority on and off the stage. I know how to lay hands, and I know how to build a company. I know how to build a company, but I got a dope marriage too. I got a dope marriage, but my kids love me. I'm more than just a gift. I have authority. Look at your neighbor and say, send me to a church. We don't have a lot of people standing up because you don't understand the importance of the church. Hear me very carefully. You can be in the church and miss your season. The church is not just something that you get done on Sunday. The church is the hope of the society that you're living in. If you want the world to change, get this. If you want the world to change, you don't sing kumbaya songs. Here it is. The world don't need another Chris Brown. We got one. The world don't need another
another Usher Raymond, we got one. The world don't need another Super Bowl, we got one. Let me tell you what the world needs. The world needs another church. And I ain't talking about an assembly. The world needs as many believers as we can get. Feel like preaching. If you want to change the world, you don't change policies first. You go and find a Christian. If you want to change your family dynamic, it's got to be on the Christian. Pastor, pay attention. Here, don't miss this. If you know you come from a lineage of divorce, what God is looking for is not you to be a millionaire. He's looking for you to be so serious that you say, I have not come to make money. I've come to change the history of my bloodline. Songs don't bring marriages together. Songs set you in the mood. What brings marriages together is the church. Pastor, what you talking about? The church where the spirit of the God of the Lord dwells. What we need is not another video on gender reveal. We need families that can reveal the presence of God.
I am not impressed that you are in church. And what we've done is we've married people, Minister Corey, because they in the church. Think about it, y'all. We outside. We from outside. So people, your family, they say, you doing good for yourself. And we're like, what you mean? Doing good for yourself. You got a job. You respectful. You in the church. And so the problem I have with being in the church is we got so many people in the church that the church ain't in them. And so don't get mad with God when your marriage don't work out. Or your business don't work out. You did all of that in the church, but you didn't stop to say, how much of the church is in me? You married folk that were in the church. I feel like running here. It ain't enough. Help me. It's time to go. Chipotle about to close. It ain't enough. It ain't enough to invite. Hear me. I'm so serious about God. Let me help you ladies, because y'all like to do this the most. Stop dragging him to church. No. It's time out to stop dragging. I got to stop dragging you to church, because that is an indication that he ain't in you yet. Now, I ain't talking to married people. I'm talking to single folk, because married folk, it's too late for you. You got to deal with what you got. But if you single, stop trying to get him to church. Let me tell you how you get him to church. Stop sleeping with him. I was about to do that, but the Holy Spirit said, slow down. You can't evangelize and open thighs at the same time. You can't be humping on Friday and in the morning say, you know, the Lord has been speaking to me. That fool ain't coming to your church because he ain't got nothing to value anymore. Sit down.
Pastor V, we've been lying. Oh, the devil keeping the men out. The devil ain't keeping no man out. Absolutely, we got to stop. I'm telling you, we're going to get to glory, and the devil going to be defeated. He's going to go to hell, and on his way to hell, he's going to be like, I didn't do most of what y'all said I did. Let me tell you what keeps men out of the church. Because here it is. Don't miss this. What keeps men out of the church is when the church women have not put a standard on holiness. That man will come to the church and he'll start speaking in tongues if he knew that there was finally somebody that did not stand stimulate my emotion, but she challenged my convictions. I feel like running in this room. The reason men are not transforming is because we got women that's worshiping God, but compromising at the same time. If you want that man to marry you, lock it up and say, you gotta know God to get this.
Because the problem is, the women, watch this, the reason that the women of God are distracted is because we keep letting wolves come in, steal our heart, leave, and never come back. See, a man that's waited a year to get you ain't gonna get you and then be like, oh, you know, the reason I ain't pick up is because I've been too busy. This section is just telling all your business. Ask yourself, what's in you? I feel like running. What's in you that let us smash and then didn't call you for 4 or 5 days? That ain't a him problem, it's a you problem. And man of God, I'm talking to you. What made you give her money and then she didn't call you for another 4 or 5 days? My light's off. Well, it's expensive in Atlanta. You shouldn't have come here, stayed in Texas. Ain't done. And what's in you, woman of God, that's gonna take money from someone that you know you don't really love? You a user, and the church ain't in you. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm a church girl. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm a church boy. Watch this, y'all. Watch this. You don't take gifts from people you ain't with. You gotta learn how to say, no, take that back to the store. I don't know you like that. I can't take no gift from you. They don't. All right, that's another introduction. Watch this. Say, we are the church. Give you this text, 1 Corinthians 16 and 19. And we'll move on. I want you to understand something, that there are two types of church. There's the local church. There's a local church. It says here, the churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord. And so does the church that meets at their house. So watch this. I want to address something, that you're absolutely right. The church ain't the building. Church ain't the building. You have what we call, write this down, the global church. Keep this text up for me. You have what we call the global church. The global church. And the global church is simply every person who has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The global church is every person that follows Jesus. When we talk about following Jesus, we're talking about simply obeying Christ. That you live by the principles, the precepts, the promises, prayers, the proclamations of Christ, that you are a slave to him, not a slave in terms of he's a master. No, my life is at the mercy of Jesus. That means I don't have an option. Even though he's given me free will, I will to please him. So that is the global church, and that is every person in the world who has accepted Jesus Christ. All right, now watch this. But then, hear this, I'll miss this. You have the local church. You have the local church. And the local church, when we talk about New Testament, everybody does this when they're trying to argue why they shouldn't come to the corporate gathering. They say, oh, they met in houses. Yes, they did. They met in houses and they met in synagogues. All right, watch this. Pay attention to this. You have Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla are husband and wife. Watch this. Here's what I want to minister to you for a moment. Aquila and Priscilla, they are a husband and wife duo, but they have been led, reared, tutored, mentored by a gentleman named Paul. They work closely with Paul. After working closely with Paul, hear this, don't miss this, they are released to go into different spaces. They lived in different spaces, one of which is Rome, and they had house church. Watch this, hear me. When you are called of God, God has what we call a structure. He has a governing order, if you will. Hear me, don't miss this. And this is what we have to deal with in the church. We have to deal with in the church. That Priscilla and Aquila, don't miss this, they are reared, they are mentored by Paul. Paul raises them up in the faith to the place where he builds relationship with him, with them, to the place where he calls them, in some senses, he calls them my associates in the faith. Watch this. You don't start a church until you've come through someone. I'm going somewhere. One of the things I'm finding out, I go through TikTok a lot, and I love social media. It's great. I think it's a great tool. But it's also a tool that can be perverted or misused. We need, hear this, y'all, we need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach, we'll talk about it in a moment. But one of the things I'm finding out on TikTok, what I'm looking at very, very young, inexperienced, unfathered men and women of God using their gifts. It's not just prayer. And it's not just prophecy. It's not just preaching the gospel. As long as the gospel is being preached, then that's it. Now, this culture, pay attention, follow me. You're not going to shout on this, but you should. This culture refuses this type of teaching. Here's why. Because this culture was not raised by fathers. So the word structure and order are obsolete or abstract, abnormal to this culture. So what I'm teaching, many of you feel as if it's control. Because you think that you can just be born of the Spirit of God, he impregnates you with gifts, and you can just use them how you want to. Watch this. This generation does this. I feel a call to preach. Well, my question is, well, who called you? Okay. God called me to preach. That's no problem. That's fine. We understand that. That's great. Then my next question is, now who's going to teach you? And this is what I'm finding out. God doesn't teach. All right, you don't mean like that, okay. Well, raise your hand if you have some type of education from associate's to graduate. Okay, put your hand down. Raise your hand if in pursuit of that, you taught yourself, hear this, don't miss this, you licensed, ordained, certified yourself. Raise your hand. If you did, come. We got to ask you a lot of questions. Raise your hand if God graduated you from any of those institutions. Why y'all not standing? Raise your hand. It's interesting that every other industry got sense. No, I got one for you. You don't like that. Let's say one day you got to have surgery. Let's say heart surgery. Let's say a transplant. And you get there, you're about to go under the knife, and the doctor comes in and says, hey, I know we've had many consultations. I forgot to tell you one particular thing, though. I taught myself how to do open heart surgery. And I created my own credentials. Y'all remember that boy that did that? So if open heart surgery is important enough to go through 8 years of schooling or 10, why do we let why do we allow people to prophesy having never been trained? What I'm seeing on TikTok is they can press a button, get a thousand, because on TikTok you can't go live until you have 1,000 followers. They get 1,000 followers, they press a button, and they preach. Now, this is how you know they ain't trained. They get on TikTok and hoop. And so I click it from time to time. It'd be 4 people, 14, 24 people. And all through the comments, people are like, is this a joke? Is this serious? I be wanting to say, this is a complete joke. I don't say anything. Well, watch this, y'all. Gifted, possibly called by God, but you have a 16-year-old, not by age, but by spiritual maturity, driving a Lamborghini. You probably have a calling of God on your life, but right now you're out of control. So, Pastor, watch this, pay attention. So you probably are a prophet. But if you don't allow somebody to sharpen your character, when you get in a tough financial time, you will prophesy for money. And we got to do this, Pastor V. We got to train up prophets that know how to separate their mouth from the money. Y'all ain't shouting because I'm teaching. I just did all that to get you excited so you can hear the message. That I gotta go through the church before I'm released, because if I'm released prematurely, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start preaching for paychecks, not for conversion. So watch this, and this is what you see, and y'all don't realize it, that you go places and you give your money to prophets who have never been developed. What they've done is realize, and here's what the church has done poorly. We recognize people's gifts, and we let people prophesy, and we get them developed in the prophetic. But watch this, they can't hold down jobs. They cannot, here it is, they can't hold relationships together. Do you know prophecy don't keep you married? You can be a prophet and not know how to be in a real relationship. I'll give you a for example. That prophets think that they get this because they prophets. They can be rude and nasty to everybody. They like to say stuff like, you know, prophets ain't relational. We don't like to be around folk. Well, did you know that means that your prophetic gift is unlearned? That means that your gift is controlling your character. And what an apostolic voice does says this: before I let you prophesy, I know that if I don't lead you and cut you and train you, you're going to be a weird prophet. And so the only time people will like you is when you're prophesying. But you won't have friends. You won't have family. You won't know how to work in the church. You don't know how to do teamwork. You will just be weird. And the only time we are called or have need for you is when you're prophesying. And if you're not prophesying, don't nobody want to be around you. Well, let me help you. God does not call a prophet to be weird with people. He calls a prophet to say what thus says the Lord. But you can be a prophet and be married. You can be a prophet and have a good relationship. You can be a prophet and have friends. You can be a prophet and be relational. You can be, but if you are not trained by an apostolic leader, your gift will control you when your character is what is the thing that controls you. Not my apostolic
solid grace, not my prophetic grace, not how well I can sing. Hear me, I don't care if the people fell flat on their face while you were singing. I am not responsible for endorsing your gift. I'm responsible for shaping your character.
So watch this. What we're done, what we've done is we've allowed people to come into the church, use gifts. And so this is why people do this, especially in the African-American context. This is what people do all the time when they join the church. I don't know how they do it at other churches, but they love to do it over here. They'll meet you for the first time, and they'll introduce themselves. Watch this. You never introduce yourself. It's something wrong with you. You never introduce yourself by way of what you do. That's what you mean. You don't join a church. Y'all ready? It's going to mess you up. You don't join a church to first utilize your gifts. I have never met so many people that come to churches and the way to win people is to talk about how many businesses you own. Well, a real pastor, guess what? Don't care. They quiet now. Watch this, y'all. I got 4 minutes. I'm going to give you this. Pay attention to this right here, y'all. Watch this. So you have the local church and you have the global church. Watch this. The church, pay attention to this. This is very, very important. The church in the Greek is the ecclesia. It means the assembly of God. Watch this. But it also means the called out ones. So watch this, the ecclesia, the called out ones. So the church, we are the assembly or the called out ones. Here's my favorite part of this entire session. Don't miss this. You cannot be a part of the church. Hear me, when God calls you out, when you become a part of the global church, that means God has called you out. When you're a part of the church, when you're part of the body of Christ, you have, hear this, there must be an exodus. One of the things that's frustrating, okay? I was telling my staff a couple of weeks ago. I said, because I think y'all think that we just be sitting back there eating wallabies all day. We do a lot, but that's not the only thing we do. We all love wallabies, but that's not the only thing we do. I said, you know what's frustrating about y'all? I hear more wishing that you had your old life. I hear more free. I hear more. When I was, you know, the church is just so much pressure. And when am I gonna get some more money? And when I was back there, I had this amount of followers. And when I was back there, I mean, I used to be the man. When I walked in, they all loved me. I done met everybody. I know everybody. And I love when they say stuff like this. Oh, my old boyfriend, you know what? I may have given them a chance. I lost an opportunity with him because he a good one. He was like, well, what he do? Well, he drive trucks now. All right. I go home and I say, Lord, I'm sick of this because I've been doing this 10 years and I have given my life to these people. I've tried to teach them proper hermeneutics and homiletics. I've tried to teach them proper theology. I've tried to teach them discipleship. I've tried to teach them prayer. I've tried to teach them worship. Hear me, don't miss this. I have never in my almost 40 years of living heard my mother and father and Miss Jackie them and the Miss Maples say, I miss my life outside of God.
When you know Jesus, you look back and you say, oh my God, I had the money, I had the women, I had the cars, I had the fame, I had the influence, but I didn't have life. I didn't have Jesus.
I have never met so many Christians that are missing. Y'all ready? I have never met so many Christians that are missing the life they had outside of Jesus. Someone come up here and explain to me how you can be saved and miss the life you had outside of Jesus. Don't worry, I'm gonna tell you how. You ain't saved. Band, let's talk. One of y'all got to stand up and say, how am I Holy Ghost filled? And for a long period of time, go into bars and clubs and play this instrument and then come here on, hear me. No, don't worry about it. How is it, Minister Corey, that I can go to the club as a musician? Watch this, gonna mess you up. And then on Thursday night, which is my devotion night where I spend time with God, how do I Wednesday night, or let's do this because Thursday night is club night, how do I go to the club on Thursday and play music that makes people move into sin? And then on Saturday night, spend time with Jesus with that same instrument and never ever eventually say, I gotta be called out of one of them. Would y'all tell these people we sung in the clubs? I sang in the club. Hear me, don't think I ain't no lame. I know how it is to be up here and people throw panties at you. I know how it is to be up here and people come up and hunt you. But then I left and I had an encounter with Jesus. I don't care. It's stimulating to the flesh. But you can't have you can be a church goer, but the church can't be in you. The Holy Spirit can't be in you. Daily will I seek you. It can't be purging you every day. The word can't be transforming your mind every day. And you say, oh, let me go and make $400 in a demonic hellhole. You know what happens when you leave the club? Do you know what happens when you leave the club? When you leave the club, there's something that makes you want to become what was in it. Nick, Will, you know why I don't drink? I don't drink because I ain't no preacher. Preachers can do whatever they want to do now. I don't drink because I want to drink. I ain't stunned what you think. I'm telling you that if I take a swig of it, I ain't gonna be able to stop. And I prefer to keep my anointing. I prefer to keep my mind. The Bible says, hear me, don't miss this. King Limito's mother said to him, kings don't drink. Let those who are depressed drink. Let those who don't know who they are drink. But you got to keep your right mind so that you can always think. So you let depressed people drink alcohol. But when you get depressed, you got to keep your right mind. How is it? What has happened? I'm going to tell you the answer. How do you know Jesus? We all these songs we sing, and you sit around and reminisce on a life that you had in darkness. I grew up in a time where people would say their testimonies, the Canton Joneses, the Truths, the Ty Tribbetts, all these people. I grew up in a time, all those guys are 40 plus now. And I grew up in a time when they got saved, they talked about up in my mothers and all our mothers, etc. Don't miss this. I grew up, their language was different. Their language was, we had fun. Here it is, y'all, but Ty said, sinke. Y'all ready? I'm about to mess you up. Let me tell you. Y'all ready? Don't miss this. Mama said this. I hope you run on this. Mama said, this is what we see. We see people in the house of God. God has called you out. Now you're living a narrow life. And we see people doing this whole regret. And, you know, I wish I could just dance a little bit. Let me challenge you, y'all. Y'all ready? Anybody in this room, don't raise your hand because you're gonna miss. I'm trying to prove a point. Anybody in the room, you just don't listen to secular no more? No, y'all. Listen, hear me. I know y'all hate the preacher, but I'm asking you to love me for a moment. Has anybody, don't raise your hand because I'm trying to prove a point. Because when we start doing it, everybody be raising their hand. Be like, no, you haven't. Has anybody in the room become the church soul because you got an issue with gathering, but you have not stopped smoking? See, you cannot argue. Pay attention. You gotta accept the entire equation. You cannot argue, well, I ain't gotta come to church to be saved. But you outside of the church look more like the world. We would listen to you if you said, hey, I don't go to church, but I've become holy. Since I've been out of the church. And the truth of the matter is, you can't walk up here with confidence and say that bedside Baptist makes you holy. Because if you were all that, that bed that you're watching the church in, you wouldn't have had nobody laying in it last night. You got to follow the entire equation. If you're going to advocate for bedside Baptist, at least be able to testify that I didn't kick him out of my bed. I didn't kick her out of my bed. I don't smoke no more. I don't drink no more. And it hadn't been a week. It hadn't been a month. It hadn't been 6 weeks. It's been years. God took the taste out of my mouth while at bedside Baptist. And you can't say it. I'm asking you, we all Christians in this room, I'm asking you a question. Why do you still want to listen to demonic music? If I said, hear me, watch this, Minister Free, we got more Christians in this room that if I said, stop listening to secular music, here's one, y'all don't like that one, that's elementary. If I said, hear me, is 20% of the people in this room living with a man or a woman? Don't raise your hand. 20% of the people in the room living with each other. So now my question is, what happened to the Holy Ghost that wouldn't let you live with nobody you were married to? Oh, it's a new day. So you mean to tell me the new day is God putting us in sinful situations? That's the new day? So what am I trying to challenge you? Watch this. Hear me. That the purpose of the church is that we come together. We become activated first before. Watch this. We're done. Watch this. What we have done is preached you into entrepreneurship. We've activated your gifts. We told you to go out and represent the kingdom of God. And while you were focusing on that, you have not been delivered from anything. So everybody in this room saying, I need gifts, I have gifts, and I got to find my mountain of influence. I'm called to entertainment, I'm called to medicine, I'm called to politics, I'm called to all these things. And the truth of the matter is, while you're focusing on demonstrating, you lack power. You have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so watch this. I don't want to just be a church goer. I don't want to just have Jesus on the inside. I need the power of God to get me to a place where I have full deliverance, that I can look at my life and say, I don't want that old life anymore. That's the real church. The real church is not a group of people that hates coming to church and hate the fellowship. Get this, y'all. You are never supposed to be angry at me preaching. When you're spirit filled, you are running to the house and you're saying, I need bread. Here's what you gotta get to. I'm not calling names, but you gotta get to the place of spiritual maturity where you are sick of people saying you about to get something. You got to get to the place where you say, I need a word that's going to challenge my carnality.